You're listening to All Things Considered on North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. As we do at this time each week, analysis, discussion, and a review of the week in North Carolina politics. Back again is Becky Gray, Senior Vice President and lobbyist with the conservative John Locke Foundation, as well as Rob Schofield, Director of Research at NC Policy Watch, part of the Liberal North Carolina Justice Center. Welcome.
Thanks, Jeff.
Governor Roy Cooper delivered his State of the State this week at the General Assembly. He used the phrase common ground 13 different times. I checked the transcript that during the address. He also called again for a repeal of House Bill 2 and touted his largely symbolic budget plan as a vehicle to invest in education and teachers. We'll get to the GOP response in a moment. What were the biggest takeaways from Cooper for each of you?
From my perspective, it was a very traditional sort of moderate, middle of the road, Democratic proposal. It sounded not unlike Jim Hunt or Mike Easley. The governor talked about very sort of, you know, bread and butter ideas, all America ideas. Let's raise teacher pay. Let's address the hurricane problems that have been unaddressed. Let's create more jobs. Let's go after opioids. You know, he didn't come in and propose some sort of massive tax increase, or he even offered sort of an olive branch when it came to HB 2. So in general, it seemed to me sort of a very measured, moderate speech. And indeed, he's been attacked by some folks on the right for saying that the left has surrendered. They're not even, you know, they don't even have any fire in their bellies anymore after this speech. So,
were there any particular moments or points that did stand out to you? You mentioned a few different ones.
Well,
just
you used one of my lines, which was the 13 times he used the common ground term in your introduction. I thought that was highly symbolic and obviously intentional of the image that he was hoping to portray. The fact that he was actually applauded by Republicans on several occasions seemed to me to be a good start for maybe finding some common ground during the remainder of the session.
Impressions, Becky?
I think it was a very moderate speech. It was a relatively short speech, 38 minutes, I think, in total. He did, within the first 3 or 4 minutes of the talk, bring up HB2, which, you know, we've heard over and over and over again. He talked about common ground, but he also said when he disagrees with the General Assembly, he will fight back. He mentioned common ground, but he's been suing the General Assembly over and over again for months. I think there is some common ground, education, the hurricane relief for the hurricane victims and the fire victims in the western part of the state, a focus on teacher pay, of course, which the General Assembly has also done, and this was kind of part two of what we're seeing from Roy Cooper. Part one was the budget that he released that had a lot of policy implications, his priorities.
You know, what came through to me was that Cooper was, being a former lawmaker, you know, he's used to this idea of being against somebody one moment and being with them the next. He was a legislator for many years, unlike, for instance, Pat McCrory, who didn't know how to play that game. And so when you talk about the fact that he wants to fight and yet he's also talking about common ground, I'm sure to him that seems like a normal approach to take for someone who's used to the give and take of the General Assembly.
As we've noted before here and in some of the reporting, Cooper entered the governorship with 30 years of experience in state government. Pat McCrory, 5 years ago or 4 years ago, entered with no experience in state government. That's clearly a difference that we have seen time and time again. For context, Cooper's speech, 38 minutes. McCrory's speech 2 years ago, an hour and 20 minutes. So just very different. Republican Senate Leader Phil Berger issued the response. It was scathing, offering sharp criticism of Cooper, then in order, the press, the Democratic Party, and liberal special interests. Becky, the rhetoric seemed dialed up. Why?
I'm not sure that it really did. If you've been paying attention, I mean, Republicans have expressed extreme frustration since 2011, feeling like they haven't gotten a fair shake with the media. And of course, we expect the opposition from the opposing party. But that was something that Berger mentioned, and this wasn't new. This wasn't the first time that we've heard that. Berger also, I think, really laid a difference between what their approach has been, and that has been less government, whereas Roy Cooper's approach, even during this short State of the State address, making references back to the 1990s, many of the things that he's talked about is if you have a problem, government will solve it. So I think there was a real difference philosophically between the two approaches of these kind of State of the State and the response from Berger.
Rob?
Seemed to me that he was channeling Donald Trump full on. I mean, when Phil Berger arrived in Raleigh several years ago, we knew him as a nice, moderate guy who people could get along with from both sides of the aisle. And since he's become president pro tem of the Senate, increasingly as the years have gone by, he has taken a more and more strident public tone, so that it's to the point where he was literally just repeating lines from a speech he had given to his county convention a few days before in his response speech, the kind of red meat you serve up at a rally to get people fired up. He saw fit to use that as the statewide televised and radio carried a response to the governor. It just seems to me he's made a decision that's what works, that Donald Trump is showing the way on that front, that you're going to be, it's almost impossible to be too outrageous. And he's going to stick to it, it seems to me.
And I disagree with that. I think that Berger's response was one of frustration. In Roy Cooper's State of the State, he gave very little credit to a lot of the advances of the reforms that the General Assembly has put into place. He talked about increasing teacher salary as if he was the first one to think about it, as if teachers hadn't had a 15% increase, as if $500 million had not been spent on teacher salaries over the last 5 or 6 years.
And they are up, and I see you shaking your head, Rob. I'm going to put this in the middle. We'll see if we can agree on this. Teacher salaries have been increased in the last 5 years. They are not up to pre-recession levels. Is that a fair way of framing this?
Yes,
absolutely.
Okay, and that's part of the reason you're shaking your head.
I think it's, first of all, it's sort of remarkable that this man with tremendous, clearly the most powerful man in state government for several years, demands that the governor come in and sort of pay homage to him in his State of the State speech and be frustrated if he doesn't. I mean, and indeed his speech was pre-recorded, so I don't even know if it was if he wrote it before Cooper delivered his speech.
It was recorded at 4 o'clock on Monday. Cooper delivered it at 7, just for whatever that's worth.
And I did not see that as a demand that Cooper pay homage to Phil Berger or the General Assembly. It's just a recognition that there have been some good things that have been done, and if in fact Cooper wants to find common ground, a good place to start would be the conversation of saying, look, you've done some good things, together we can do more, or give some kind of credit for the good things that have happened, the economy being turned around, unemployment rates. I mean, there are arguments that you could make. I'm sure that Roy Cooper doesn't like everything that the Republicans have done, but they have done some good things, and to start the conversation that way, I think would get more agreement on some of these common ground issues.
We're going to move on in a moment. I would like to hear from each of you. This is something that was kicking around the press room on Monday night, and it's something that I've heard from political scientists and strategists as well. The rhetoric from Berger, the recent mailers, there are indications that this, in our conversations, the indications we're picking up on are, this is a man that potentially is running for something, is running for another seat. Any thoughts on that?
We've heard these rumors over the last several election cycles. I think if Phil Berger's running for anything, it's to lead the Senate through this next session. And, that's what we're seeing.
I'm not sure what other office he would run for. I suppose conceivably he could challenge Cooper in 2020, although Dan Forrest has already essentially announced for that office. I think Berger is, as I said, for a long time, has been the most powerful man in North Carolina politics. So I think he just seems to like that job and probably wants to consolidate his power even more.
I think it's more important to focus on the direction that they want to take the House and Senate, the direction they want to take North Carolina. And that's really what I'm trying to focus on. What are we hearing the Senate wants to do? What are we hearing the House wants to do? What are we hearing from Governor Cooper? As a policy person, I'm really interested in what the ideas are that are going to move North Carolina